So as we think about God dependence, and we think about generous living, I want to go ahead and start by emphasizing and highlighting God dependence. Now, when it comes to our six core values, we don't necessarily have an order of what these values look like. But I would say if I had to pick one to kick it off, if I had to pick one that is the top of all six values, I'd say the first one that really is on our heart is the value of God dependence. God dependence is something that we value as a church. We believe in it. We're hungry for it. And we want you to know what we mean when we say God dependence. If you hang around Walk Church long enough, you're going to sense this is a God-dependent church. Here's what the word dependence means. We'll define it from the Oxford Dictionary. It's the state of relying on or being controlled by someone or something. The someone or something for us we're talking about is God. We are reliant upon God. We are being controlled by His Spirit. A synonym for the word dependence, addiction. I was challenged when I read this definition because I had to ask myself in a self-reflection type of way, would you describe your walk with Jesus as an addiction? And I don't know that I've always been there. I don't mean to be traumatic in any way when I ask this question, so please forgive me if this evokes anything negative, but have you ever been around somebody that has an addiction issue? Have you ever seen somebody that is struggling with addiction? Here's what I've known. Whenever I'm around somebody that is an addict in some capacity, the thing that they're addicted to seems to consume them even more than anything else. Yes. It's so much so that people will do either good things to get it or even bad things to get it because they're so addicted to it. They're consumed by it. They're thinking about it. They want it. They're even sometimes manipulating to do certain things to get what they're addicted to. What I'm saying is when it comes to God, what if we have some of those same characteristics that we would even say no to certain things to say yes to even better things, namely Him? That's God dependence. A reliance and an addiction type energy that says, man, I need His word today. I more than anything else, before I click on a notification, before I even go eat a physical food, God, I need You. I need more of You, right? This is our value here at Walk Church. We don't do a bunch of religious stuff and then just throw a little God on it. No, God is the whole plane. He's not just the co-pilot. He's the whole thing, right? In fact, I believe if you were to remove God from Walk Church, this church would collapse. This ship would sink. He is the engine. He is the rudder. He is the thing that makes it go. That's why we're singing, God, You have good plans. It's Your goodness. It's Your mercy. It's Your power. We're relying on You. God, if You don't show up, we're done. We need You. And I'm grateful that we have a God in the Scriptures who says, you have Me. Draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. God woke us up to be more dependent. God's filling our lungs so that we could have more of Him. We are a God-dependent house and church. It's our number one value here at Walk Church that you're going to sense God is in this thing. And that's the greatest thing that we can give to you. Now, when it comes to shaping our values, two thoughts. Number one, we're asking this question. Does Jesus value the same things that we value? Right? In other words, if we have values that are not in alignment with Jesus' values, then let's get a new set of values, all right? That's for you too. As you look at your own life, if you look at your family, maybe you have certain things that you value. Just make sure that they align with Christ. So we're asking, Jesus, did You model this value? And then number two, we're asking, Jesus, did You instruct this value? So our values come out of Christ-likeness. Amen? Amen? So number one, we're asking the question, does Jesus model God dependence? I would answer that today, absolutely. In fact, if you do a close study of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that Jesus is modeling God dependence in a very real way. Let me start in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. I find this verse to be powerful. It's right there in the heart of Jesus doing big time ministry. What do I mean by that? Well, there's all types of people around Jesus in Luke chapter 5, people coming from all over the world to see him, to hear him, to be healed by him, people bringing their friends to him. Any pastor would be like, this is successful. This is big time. But verse 16, he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. It's a value. Jesus didn't value the crowd. He valued God dependence. It's not that Jesus did not engage in the crowd. It's not that Jesus did not do a mighty great work there, but he knew that there was going to be a moment where he would need to withdraw to desolate places. Desolate just means by itself, quiet. And he would, what does it mean to pray? Talk to God. I don't want to give you too much of a souped up definition. Praying is talking to the Father. Now listen to me. If Jesus needed to withdraw to desolate places, the Son of God, the Savior himself, 100% God, 100% man. If Jesus modeled God dependence, how much more should we? Walk Church, how much more do we need to get alone with God? Jesus left good ministry to pursue an intimate, real, abiding walk with the Father. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. If you read the Gospel of Mark, you'll find that this one chapter is filled with so much power and kingdom activity. But notice how the day starts. Verse 35. Rising very early. That's an annoying phrase. In the morning, another annoying phrase. While it was still dark. Come on, Jesus. He departed. He even got up out the house. I want to be like Christ. He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. In fact, the disciples come looking for Jesus. Like, yo, where Jesus at? Oh, he's been gone. He got up early. He left. He's going to pray. They would find Jesus talking to the Father, pursuing that abiding, God-dependent relationship. Now, if Jesus modeled this, I think that we should grab a page out of his book, literally Mark 1:35, and say, you know what? I got to check my God dependence. Do I really value this? And how can I grow in this? We find this not just in the Gospel of Luke, not just in the Gospel of Mark, but we also see in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, Jesus does this miraculous work of feeding 5,000 plus people. Now, he doesn't go on the news right there and say, here's how I did it. Yeah, check me out. Hit likes and subscribes, right? What does Jesus do? After he had dismissed the crowds, he said, all right, you guys got fed. Grab what you need. He went up on the mountain by himself. He told the disciples, hey, I need to recharge up to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. So Jesus took time during the day to get alone with the Father. Here's what I'm noticing. It doesn't take long if you read through the Gospels to realize Jesus modeled God dependence. We see this in Mark. We see this in Matthew. We see this in Luke. Again, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we find another fascinating moment where Jesus is living this out. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Somebody say, all night. All night. When's the last time you did anything all night, right? Don't answer that. Don't call anything out right now. I can't remember the last time I spent a whole night in prayer. He continued in prayer to God. Let me keep saying this. Now, if Jesus... we're walking in Jesus, the person, the power, the presence of Christ. He's going to, the Holy Spirit in you is going to crave God dependence if he's in you. Jesus went outside and all night, Jesus knew he was about to pick his disciples. He wanted to get it right. So he's, I wonder if Jesus is having a conversation. Hey, Father, what do you think about Peter? I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I've been watching him. John, interesting dude. Bartholomew, interesting dude. And he had this all night long talking to the Father, and then Jesus was clear and convinced with who was going to be on his disciple team the next morning. I would say, hey, don't just make important decisions on your own. Get with God. Spend time talking to him, pursuing him, opening his word, listening to his voice, God, dependence. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, we find another moment in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is modeling God dependence. All throughout this gospel, we find Jesus prioritizing it. Now, I want to ask you this question. Is this part of your rhythms? Are you carving out time for the purpose of not just doing something for God, but spending time with God? I think that if the devil can hinder your time with God, he's got you. And I would just say, hey, whether it's the deepest and darkest and evident sins, or if it's just a bunch of good stuff like emailing people and taking a family vacation and I got places to go and people to see and things to do, right? Whatever it is, if he can get you with good, busy stuff, or if he can get you with bad, sinful stuff, it doesn't matter as long as he can get you away from Jesus. As long as you say, hey, I'll have to do that tomorrow. Can I just tell you, the abiding relationship with the Father is the most important thing about you. This is something that he modeled, and this is something that he instructed. John chapter 15, a familiar passage for some. Maybe it's new for you. I just want to encourage you with this verse here. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The word abide means to dwell in, to remain with, stay connected to. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Everybody say, unless. Unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this might discourage somebody in the room today, but just go ahead and take it, all right? Just go ahead and receive it, all right? Listen, Jesus just called you a branch. You're not as special as you thought. In fact, in Genesis, you're a piece of dirt. God is so good that he made us out of the dust. He's that good. In Genesis, we're dust and dirt. In John, he compares us, metaphorically speaking, to a branch. And he says, what good is a branch if it's disconnected to the vine? If it's not connected to the tree, the branch is not good for really anything except being thrown into the fire. It's what Jesus says. He says, so make sure that you stay connected, because unless it abides and stays connected to the vine, no fruit will come off of your life. Jesus expects for you to have real fruit popping out of your life, not counterfeit fruit. Come on, anybody ever seen a counterfeit fruit? It's like styrofoam, but it's painted red like an apple. You pick one of those up, you're like, this ain't a real apple. Don't let somebody get close to you and be like, you're not a real Christian. Come on, I thought you had some real fruit. Come on. Where's the real stuff? I'm hungry. I need something new. This world is starving me out. I came to church looking for some God dependence, some real fruit. We got to stay connected to the vine. I remember when I was in high school and I was playing basketball, and I got a personal trainer that I had been working out with over the summer, and then the season finally started for high school sports, and I'm playing basketball, and we had basketball practice after school. And so school would get out at like 3, and then from like 3 to 5, we would have practice with the team, and we'd have these long practices. I remember I got off at 5, and I got a text message from my coach, who I've been doing these workouts with, and he said, hey, you coming to get shots up? And I said, well, we just got out of practice. And he said, I know. Are you coming to get shots up? I said, oh, man, I just got shots up. And he said, that was with the team. You got practice with the team, and it's necessary, it's beneficial, but when are you going to work on your game? When are you going to actually work on your skill set and your weaknesses? Are you coming to get shots up? You did a bunch of team stuff. Listen to me. Hey, friend. I love church. Oh, I love church. Y'all know I love church. But this is team stuff. We here together as a team, amen? Come on, come together, high five some people, get the plays, run the plays, pass a cake around, get the merch, you know what I'm saying? Smile at somebody, go to kids ministry, worship, all with the team. But at some point, you got to get some shots up. At some point, you got to get by yourself and say, Pastor Hyden's not here. Pastor Marvin and the team aren't here. I got to get some work in myself. God, I need you to, and God says, I'm here. God says, I want you to talk to me. Look, don't just do the team stuff. And you need the team stuff. We need each other, get inside of a group, but you can't just have a relationship with Jesus when you're at a group or when you're at church. It's got to be God dependence is something that we must value. Friend, I'm reading through the book of 1 Samuel. I came to the office the other day. I was like telling people, man, this is what God spoke to me today, just for me. I wasn't preparing a message. I'm just growing close. I'm in awe of God again. I was reading Proverbs 10 this morning. It was an on-time word. Why? Not because I'm preaching on Proverbs 10, just because it's preaching to me. Right? God dependence is it's the key. It's not just the team stuff. It's the everyday stuff. Jesus modeled it. Jesus instructed it. He says you better be abiding if you want to be effective. If you want fruit to come out of your life, God dependence is the way. Here's a reality statement that I wrote down. God dependence is embracing the lifestyle and the mentality that apart from abiding in Christ, we cannot bear fruit. Look, if you're going to grow in God dependence, hear me, church, don't miss this. Please don't miss this. If you're going to really value God dependence, you have to embrace a lifestyle and a mentality that recognizes, apart from staying connected and abiding with Jesus, we can't bear fruit. The Lord spoke to me the other day at Cracker Barrel. Come on, somebody. Them blueberry pancakes were great, but that wasn't the word. I was in the little gift shop, and I saw this sign. And I said, ooh, that's good right there. Here's what the sign said. Nothing changes if nothing changes. That'll preach. What's that saying? I think sometimes we think, hey, 2025 is my year. You said that in 2023. I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to grow closer in my walk with Jesus. I'm pursuing God dependence. But nothing changes if nothing changes. I read this quote from Oswald Chambers. He wrote this fascinating devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. I love getting in a daily devotional. You got Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. You got Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. And you know what? Actually, Pastor Marv, you got a devotional that I wrote. Come on, somebody. Mine is not as good as any of those. But We did just get it off the printer and it went live on Amazon today. I want to encourage you. If you need a devotional, pick one of these 21 days with Jesus up and you just say, you know what? I think I want to grow in my abiding. How about give 21 days to growing and just spend a couple minutes each day? Here's a resource. You can buy one today. And listen to me. If you don't have the dollars to buy one of these, just say that and we'd love to bless you with one. No shame at all. Just say, hey, things are a little tight, but I still would love one of those devos. In fact, I'd like two for me and somebody else. Hey, we'd love to bless you with one. We trust the Lord with that. We want to invest in your abide, right? Pop by the merch store today. It's not about the dollars. It's about your God. It's about what we value, right? Come on, anybody want this one? Anybody? Come on, brother. Let me give you, right? Come on. He had his notes out. He's ready to go. Appreciate you, family. That would have been awkward if no one raised their hand. Well, never mind, I guess. But it's the second one, 21 days with Jesus on the one another's abiding. Here's this quote from Oswald Chambers. He says, spend plenty of time with God, let other things go, but don't neglect him. Let me see if this side's with me. Let me try this over here. This side of the room. Spend plenty of time with God. Let other things go. Yeah. Don't neglect him. Can I get an amen? Yeah. This side is strong. I'm coming over here. Let me see. Listen to me. This side right here. This is the side right here. Spend plenty of time with God. Let other things go. Don't neglect Him. Can I get an amen from this side? All right, that's good. I think all of them were strong. Online, put it in the chat if you're with me here. Look, church, spend plenty of time with God. Look, let other things go. Just don't neglect Him. We are not here to do work for God. We're here to be workers with Him, those through whom He can do His work. The branch is not the best part of the tree. It's the power. It's the vine that produces fruit through the branch. So our greatest purpose in life is to stay connected to the vine. Then He can do His work through us. And then we could say, hey, we got in on it. God used me. God dependence is our number one value. Oh my goodness, I'm almost out of time. Let me just go ahead and tiptoe in to our second value. And then if we need more time, we'll take it next week. Come on, amen. Point number two, generous living. We value God dependence, time with God. We value generous living. Let me define the word generous according to the Oxford Dictionary. The word generous is showing a readiness to give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected. What does it mean to be generous? It means I'm showing a readiness. Who came in here today looking to be a blessing? Who came in here, look, God, I'm ready. I'm that guy on the bench that's like, They call somebody else's name and I'm like, oh, dang, I thought he was calling me. You know what I'm saying? I was at a wedding last night. They were dismissing tables to go eat. Oh, I was ready for them to call my table. Come on, anybody? You ever been there before? You're like, all right, let's eat. Showing a readiness to give more of something. Ooh. I think that our natural bent, walk church, hear me. I think our natural bent is to give less of something. Right? I think our natural bent is to get all we can all we get, and then hide the can. That is not the prescription in the Bible. It's showing a readiness to give more of something, money or time. Maybe it's your smile. Maybe it's being the most generous person in your neighborhood. It's more than even what's strictly necessary or expected. That's how we want to move here at Walk Church. When it comes to modeling our value, it's generous living. It's not just generous in our heart, it's the way we live our lives. It's a value that we want to carry with whatever space, whatever place. If somebody from Walk Church is there, may you be the most generous person in the space. Trusting and knowing that the God who gave it to you in the first place is able to give it again. Come on, right? By faith, if you move with generosity, I promise you, God will outgive you. Now, if you want to rely on your own stinginess, then don't expect much in return. Because you're saying, hey, I'm just going to do this my way, not His way. In God's economy, He says, in fact, the more generous you are, the more you'll receive and be a recipient of His generosity in your life. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm giving you a trailer into tomorrow's chapter. All right? Sneak peek. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25. Come on, read this with me. Read this with me. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Park, hold on a second. We have this mentality that if we start giving freely, we're going to grow poorer. The Bible teaches us if we give freely, we grow richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. I'll just tell you this. And people fall on hard times and people are going through financial struggle, and that's a real part of life. And I get it. It's in the Bible as well. We see it. I'm not trying to say that's not a real thing. It is. We want to help people where we can as well. But one thing that I always ask when people are suffering want, they're like, man, I can't do this. I can't pay this. I'm struggling. I'm going through it. Hard times. I want these different things. I can't get these different things. Here's what I always ask. What are you giving? And I'm not even talking about our church. I'm just saying there's a biblical principle that says if you're giving freely, you won't suffer want. I'm just taking the principle at its word, saying Are you living generous or are you living with closed hands? Are you living with a closed fist? Janaki, help me real quick. I'm calling you up. Hey, grab this gum real quick. Let's just say I needed a piece of gum because I was, you know what I'm saying. Hey, Janaki, can you give me that piece? Give me some gum. Can you give me a piece of gum? Hook me up. Just give me the whole case. I can't. Go ahead, just drop it. I can't receive it. Love you, Janaki. I may not use this illustration in the next. You can't receive it if your hands are closed. If your hands are open, God can put more in there if your hands are open. Are you living generously? God, I gave it all away. God says, I can give you more. In fact, if I can give it through you, I can give it to you. We want to live generously. Oh, I can call the people that walk church, not because they're pushovers. They are dependent on God, and God seems to be doing what he does. One gives freely, let go. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. I just want to encourage you this week. This is the week. Wherever you go, bring blessing. I'm not talking about money, but maybe it's money. But just your posture is blessing. Your posture is, I'm here to water somebody here today. Maybe the place that you work, the school that you teach at, the house that you're in is just dry. It's a desert. Why don't you start bringing water to the rooms, water to the places, water to the spaces? I just came here to be a blessing, bring blessing. I came here to smile. You might not even feel good. I'm just going to just choose it anyway. Trusting that God has got what it takes. Generous living. Open hands, not closed hands. Amen. Now let me ask the same questions and we'll be done. Did Jesus model generous living? Anybody? I think he did. I think if you survey the scriptures in the New Testament, you'll find that Jesus was the most generous of everybody. Maybe you'd say today, prove it. How about John 3:16? Anybody know that verse? Maybe you've memorized it. John 3:16 says, for God, so, don't miss the so. The word so is in there for a reason. It's just to emphasize his love. God so loved, put your name right there. He so loved you because you were once in the world, and even God loved you when you were in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but he gave them eternal life. Generous living, God gave his only son. I don't know anybody more generous than to have one son, and God the Father says, I'm going to give generously over and above. And Jesus says, I'm going to give myself so that you and I could be saved, so that we could have eternity with him, not just in this life, but in the life to come. That's generous living. Come on, amen. Jesus, the Father gave the Son. The Son, right, John chapter 20. If you ever look at John 20, Jesus dies on the cross, rises from the grave. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. What is this? God sends a Son. The Son sends a Spirit. Continues to give. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Spirit of God then empowers the church. Now, church, we weren't just meant to, like, argue with each other and, like, play patty cake and just, you know, do stuff. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit sent the church. That we would be the generous, God-dependent, kingdom men and women doing what he's called us to do. Generosity is part of the fabric of God. He's a giver. That's why we were at Trunk or Treat 2 weeks ago. Had over 2,000 people join us on this campus. We called a raffle ticket for a bike that we gave away. Little boy comes up, wins the ticket. He leans over to me, he goes, I've always wanted one of these. And his mom goes, how did y'all know? God did. We didn't know. I don't even know who you are. But now I do. And I'm grateful in that moment that I'm part of a generous church. I'm grateful in that moment And we say, hey, does anybody need a Bible here? And we couldn't give them out, enough of them out fast enough. It's like, hey, sorry, we ran out of Bibles. You want a Devo? People were like, man, I've been looking for something to read. Where do I start? Start here, right? Generosity is the way of the kingdom. Come on, amen. It's the language of the kingdom is generosity. I really want to say, church family, listen to me on this. Don't miss this. I think that we even need to do a greater job with generosity in the city of Las Vegas. Can I tell you, when we first started Walk Church 9 years ago, we were looking for a place to meet. We were trying to find a location. We were calling different real estate, different commercial places, calling anybody who had a for sale sign. Listen, we had about 20 no's in a row. No, we don't work with churches. We don't work with churches. Whoa. Oh, you're a church? Nah, there's a clause. We don't touch churches. We don't even deal with churches. I'm going to actually hang up. And then at one point, I got so frustrated with all of these closed doors that I asked, how come nobody works with churches? I started asking. They said, oh, churches never pay on time. Churches are stingy. Churches try to hit you with the God card. They say, hey, because we're a church, you should do this for us. Churches are more like parasites than they are partners. They like to take, never give. Churches leave stuff worse than the way they found it. And they try to say, it's a blessing, right? Churches don't pay. I was like, man. And then somebody said, oh, we don't deal with churches. No offense, churches are a burden. So I realized when I finally got a meeting with Principal Nep here at Schofield, I led with this. I said, Principal Nep, before you give me your answer, our commitment is that we're going to be a blessing, not a burden. Amen? So I already know that your mindset is, if you deal with church, we're a burden. But I'm just letting you know, we're going to be a blessing, not a burden. When Principal Nep called me several years into our partnership and said, hey, listen, we have 40 kids at Schofield Middle School that are homeless. I had never heard of a homeless middle school kid. I went to this school. So we have 40 on our roster that we don't know who their homes are. Can you guys, Walk Church, can you guys help us start a food pantry? Host it here at Schofield. It'll be the Schofield food pantry. We just want Walk Church to pay for it and run it and staff it. It was an easy yes. Come on, amen. It's an easy yes. Pastor West, how many people came to our food pantry this past week? Right? 200 plus? We gave out everything that we could? Come on, God was in it. Love strong, right? Listen, this is what we value, church. It's not just a good thing. We're not trying to earn brownie points in heaven, although our treasure is in heaven. We're trying to help people now. Why? Because we value it. God-dependent, generous living. The reason why my wife and I are excited to tithe to this house. In fact, in 2024, we said we don't want to just stay at the 10%. We want to go up to the 12%. But let's stair step upward. Let's give more, because God gives more. And we believe in this place. We believe that, hey, if we're giving to this church, we're making a difference through this church, through church planting, through local efforts, through care ministry, through Sundays, through all the different things that we do here. Kids ministry, multi-generational ministry. It's a joy to give here. I'd say today, if you're not modeling generous living, ask yourself why. And ask yourself, do you value these things? We value God dependence. We love the word. We love the Lord. We value generosity. We don't live closed hands. We live open hands. And we trust that God does the rest. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit in this room that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus, that's the starting place. Right this moment, I want to invite you to respond. If you're online, if you're in this room, consider praying this prayer if you need to receive him. Right now, call upon his name. Just say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you're my Lord. I believe that you're my Savior. I believe you died and paid for all of my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. And I believe you love me today. I repent. I turn away from the things I shouldn't do. Help me. Be patient with me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.